Good evening. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It's Wednesday, April 6, 2011, and it's slightly after 8. I think it's 8:09. My name is Amy Sangello. I'm the chair of the committee. With us tonight, we have Alderman Steve Linsky, who is the vice chair of the committee, Alderman Lyle Baker from Ward 7, Alderman Ted Hesmahan from Ward 3, Alderman Richard Blazer from Ward 6, Alderman Carl Romero from Ward 1, and Alderman Mitch Fishman from Ward 8.
Not here with my name, please.
Oh, sorry. I did remember your name, though. And we also have Rebecca Smith, who's our committee clerk.
Where's your name? Oh, there it is.
The first two items that I'll take up, actually, Susan here, too? Yes, actually, I'll take all three of you up. I'll take up the appointment by His Honor the Mayor, docket item number 70-11, Susan Roberts of 250 Hammond Pond Parkway, 404 South Chestnut Hill, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2012, and appointment by His Honor the Mayor, 71-11, Rosemary Larking, 1600 Washington Street, Unit 117 of Auburndale, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2013, and appointment by His Honor the Mayor, item number 72-11, Ginny Fairley of 80 Rowena Road in Newton Center, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2013. Would you like to join us at the table? What we usually do is have the new appointees come and introduce themselves and tell us why you'd like to serve on the committee, and then open it up for questions.
This is a chair for you, Jenny.
Hey,
yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's got arms.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start in order with Ms. Roberts first.
Hi, my name is Susan Roberts. I live at the Towers in Chestnut Hill. And my interest in being on the committee is that I went to school to be an architect and have worked on a number of commercial projects at the time when a lot of the life safety and ADA types of laws were first coming into effect. So I'm very familiar with them. Also, well, my son is not physically disabled. He's autistic, and so for many, he's 24. For many years, I've been an advocate for the disabled. And this seemed like a really good opportunity to combine my interest in advocacy with my pretty extensive knowledge of architecture and construction. So I waved my hand at Sonny Warren.
Wonderful. Thank you. Ms. Larking?
Okay. I've been serving on the Mayor's Committee for People with Disabilities almost since it started. It was in the early 1980s, and I've been disabled all my life, and that for me is my husband. He's been disabled since 1994. So I've written some legislation that passed the state legislature. I'm also, like, if you ask Jenny, she needs to get her on this snow removal business. Every meeting I brought it up about doing something about the snow removal, because it not only affects the disabled, but elderly people and people with children in schools. So if you want someone that's going to do nothing, I don't think you should pick me. But if you want someone that's going to do something like constructive to help a lot of people, that you would select me. And if you look at my resume, I'm on the Governor's Committee on Disability Policy and a number of different advocacy groups for disabled people. And hopefully, someday, the Alamec Chambers will be handicap accessible so I can run. So that's it.
Thank you. Ms. Fairley?
Yes. I have been on the Mayor's Committee for People with Disabilities since about 2001 or two, not exactly sure. So I'm just transitioning into the Commission, I hope. And I have most of my adult life spent in advocacy, especially the last 20 or so years, I've gradually losing my vision, and I felt that doing my advocacy also, as both of them have mentioned, for the benefit of citizens with disabilities here in Newton as well. My 9-to-5 job is work for one of the independent living centers of Massachusetts, one of the 11. I'm a disability rights advocate and activist, and also like to share all that experience that I have with individuals in the Metro West area to bring it here as well to Newton, to make Newton a more friendly, user-friendly to the people with disabilities here in our fine city.
Thank you. Committee members, are there any? Alderman Merrill moves appointment for all three appointees.
All three.
Thank you. Alderman Fishman?
I'd be interested in, you know, the opinions of any of the three of you as to, aside from the Alderman chambers, what are the sort of two or three big issues that we need to kind of move towards to make the disability issue a little bit easier? I understand snow removal also.
Snow removal is a very large one, although we do a lot of advising of access projects all over the city, and we even have had once before done the signage here in City Hall in particular. It actually needs to be done a little more. Signage is more for the visually impaired, so we do take up all types of barriers, both physical, programmatic, and visual and hearing. So. Yeah, there's quite a few of things. Most of our funding that we do access, advise about, many of it is curb cuts, as with the snow plowing and all that, and it's also got to do with many parks and recs places. Again, that makes the whole city more accessible, pathways to playgrounds and pathways to everywhere, Cold Springs, you name it. So I believe the committee, especially with the 9 members that we do have, will be dealing with all of the special places. And Aldermanic Chambers is one of our priorities for this building.
Well, a few things is sometimes they use money and fund things, but kind of like asking our opinion, because right now, they downstairs, we have to wait for the ride in the back entrance, which is like a small cubicle. And they installed supposedly what's supposed to be a heater, but the switch to turn it on is low. But the switch to turn the power on is up near the ceiling. So, I can't operate the heater. And then, they have these buttons to open and close the door, but the one at the entrance to the City Hall used to be mounted on a pole, away from the door. So right now, for me to open a door, I have to put my wheelchair close to the button. And when I push the button, the door smashes me in the face.
Ooh.
Because the button's on the far left. And in order to reach the button, I have to find your chair sideways. So it would have been better to keep it out of the pole, but some of these things, I don't know who decides what, but those kind of things, if they have the funding, they want to do something, they should bring it to our committee for advice before they do it, because...
I think City Hall should be the role model for the rest of the city. And one of the things that I think we need to focus on, I've only been to one meeting so far, but having worked for a while in construction and run a general contracting firm in the past, I think a lot of the information that comes before the city and before the commission about what it costs to make accommodations for the disabled are way too expensive. I think that we could do a lot more if we were a little more aggressive in in encouraging people to get bids. Some of the bids I saw at the last meeting were ridiculous. And I thought, well, maybe it's me. So I went and checked with a couple of contractors, and they were just way too high. So one of the things that I'm hoping is to make, that we can help make City Hall a role model, that we can be more informed about encouraging people to do more things if they're more economical, more accommodations if they're more economical. And, you know, my ultimate goal would be, you know, that this is a virus and it spreads and Newton becomes a city that, as Jenny said, is really well regarded and accommodating all kinds of disabilities. The signage in City Hall has definitely gotten improved. The door handles.
So I have an off-the-wall question.
Yes, door handles.
So you're a trustee of Torrance?
Yes.
How is the fire treated in terms of people who might have been handicapped issues? Did the fire demonstrate any deficiencies in how they did?
I wouldn't say deficiencies. We did remarkably well. I work for Oracle Corporation's a large software firm, and I happen to work from home, so I was there for the whole thing. We pulled together as a community, and all but 20 people were able to get out of the building under their own steam. Those 20 people who are, many of them in wheelchairs, had to be taken out by firefighters in special... special chairs, and Rich Klein and I, who's the chairman of the Board of Trustees, have put together with a couple of other trustees a special committee about how we can do better next time. We've already initiated a warning system that comes via both cell phone, house phone, and email to really confirm that there's an emergency. It's very immediate. So we've already instituted that. We did an investigation into what caused the fire. And at my suggestion, we're putting two fire captains on each floor so that immediately when we know there's an emergency, the fire captains go and knock on each door on their floor. And we're doing some other stuff too that it's taking a little bit longer to get into place. But that was certainly an eye-opener for an emergency situation that affected a significant number of disabled people. Yeah.
Well, one more thing I'd like to consider is enforcement of the handicapped parking, because now someone with a broken leg or whatever, they get a temporary sticker on their car and then they park there and park there and park there. And then it needs people like me who transport a special vehicle. We have the HB plate, whatever. If we see a policeman, sometimes we tell them nothing happens. So it seems like if the cities want money, they would, I think now it may be on top of time, they could enforce that rule about handicapped parking. That's all I want to say.
Well, the committee, I'm sorry.
I'm just sitting here.
I apologize. That was one of the things when we were doing the special permit for Chestnut Hill Square, and we were looking at the number of HP spaces that were available. The issue that was pointed out to us by the petitioner, the owner of the property, was, and they manage a lot of different grocery stores, so they know how the parking circulation works. They said the problem isn't the number of spaces, it's the enforcement. And on private property, getting somebody, you know, to get the police to come in there and authorize them to come ticket. They also suggested that we increase the fine to $300. So
that would get their attention.
That would.
But they're allowed to go into private parking spaces now.
But they often don't.
Yeah.
Alderman Linsky?
Well, I was just going to say, I strongly support all three nominees, and I want to thank Jenny and Rosemary for serving to date, and Susan for volunteering to join the group. And I have to say, from what you were saying, Susan, and maybe Jenny and Rosemary might know better, but I think that what you were talking about in terms of really looking, you know, when proposals come in, to better understand the numbers and better understand about all, you know, that we should be fitting out and getting more and better things is a critical, in my view, is a really critical role of the committee. So I think maybe adding that emphasis and your background to that is a real major addition. So I'm very pleased that you're...
Thank you. It's interesting, though, the one that I thought really was the most high priced came from the city department. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not surprising. And
no.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have a motion to approve all three appointees, and we've been joined by Alderman Rice from Ward 5. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor? It's unanimous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for serving.
No. But
do you want a report from the Rules Committee?
No, because we still have some other items.
Oh.
Not yet. Sorry.
Okay.
The next three items, well, we'll go down the list. Next item is item number 82-11, reappointment by His Honor the Mayor of Paul Elgenkamp, 667 Sawmill Brook Parkway, Newton Center, reappointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. This is a reappointment. He's been serving. Does somebody want to make a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Any discussion? All those in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. The next item is reappointment by His Honor the Mayor, docket item number 83-11, Karen Haywood, 69 Walker Street, Newtonville, reappointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Oh. All those in favor? That's unanimous. And reappointment by His Honor the Mayor, docket item number 84-11, Lynn Sullivan of 74 Fountain Street in West Newton, appointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. All those in favor? It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Before I get to the next item, I just want to profusely apologize to Alderman Linsky for leaving off his docket item. I was remiss in not realizing that it wasn't on the docket. I thought it was. I'm very sorry. And I thought his presentation, along with Alderman Baker and Alderman Friedman's, was fabulous. It was a great introduction. So I'm very sorry it wasn't on the docket tonight. Okay, the next item is item number 79-11. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $235,232 from the 2010-2011 E-rate reimbursement funds for the purpose of upgrading school technology. I think Ms. Chairman is here.
Hi.
Can I move up?
Yes, please.
Come on up.
Good evening.
Please.
Okay, so I think you've got an opportunity to read the memo, so I just thought I would answer any questions you might have about this. I don't know if throughout the years you've met me coming to do improvements to the school department, the different buildings, and we have kept our word in every single thing that we have done, done it in a timely and efficient fashion. So I don't know if you have any questions about this, but ultimately is to the goal is really to get our network in the 21st century so that we can have students bringing in the individual devices, which they're already doing, and it's having your school department and ready for this is not for the faint of heart. It's a big investment, but something that is truly needed. So I'm willing to...
Prepared to move it.
Alderman Baker has moved approval. Alderman Fishman.
Question. I remember the last time, I think somebody came in from the north to talk about their technology that they were introducing. And you mentioned it in the... network investment in the north is $530,000.
Right.
That actually starts from scratch. And so I guess, I think I know the answer, but I just wanted you to provide a little bit. And that is my attitude about both schools is they should be at parity. Some schools should, exceed the other. I mean,
and they both should be excellent. And I guess after the last one, I was sort of convinced that that was going on, although there were things in the North that was different. And I guess I'm just trying to understand, is the 235,000, actually you have 235 and you have 225 at different points of the memo. Is that amount going to bring it up where you will be a parity, or are there going to be distinctions, and you're going to be working to try to maybe bring the stuff up even more?
Yeah, this will give us parity for our network for the 10 gig, so that they have the same big pipeline. Newton North now has a little bit better set for one-on-one computing for wireless. So that's why I actually put, we will have to be doing some more work to put in extra, well, we'll call them power over Ethernet devices to make sure that that happens. But that's why we are definitely working towards having them parity. And that's why we are actually anxious to start getting them already to 10 gig. Yeah, so that's what we do.
So getting the network, I'm not as conversant on
right.
as I should have, but to get it up to that level is
right. And actually, that's right. And actually, we mentioned even the middle schools who want everyone to be that way, but unfortunately, it's a lot of money. So you can't just. That's why we are so thrilled to have the E-rate to be able to do some of these big projects, because we never could do it out of our operating budget. There's no way around it. But it is important. You're right, because we don't want someone going to one high school and being able to do things that.
Right.
I think the hardest, the most difficult part is when you're doing a renovation. Like when South was a few years ago, or well, I think it was 8 years ago before I came, they had the state of the art that. Well, North had to wait so many. Now, of course, North has the state of the art, and we are trying to get, we did a big infusion with some actually operating money last summer we did to get at least the labs up to state of the art for South, because they had their 8-year-old labs. And we didn't want that to happen, because then you can't have sharing between the schools. So it's a struggle when you have different, but again, it's...
Well, it's a good struggle.
Yeah, it's a good struggle.
Yeah.
And actually, you don't want everything all new at once, because then 7 years later, you're into big. It's like as if you replaced everything in your home at once.
Yeah.
10 years later, you've got to replace everything again, so try to stagger it. But that's what we're doing.
Alderman Lenski.
Charlie, I'll explain my ignorance, but...
Sorry. No, that's fine.
For instance, at home I have like a 20 gig. I view that just as speed, right?
Right.
Essentially, you know, uploading and downloading, etc. What's the margin cost differences here? Here we're bringing up 10 gigs across, but say if we were, like, for instance, what would it have been if we were talking 20 or whatever, with an eye toward, frankly, future speed use, etc. Is there? I understand this price for this. What? How's the marginal cost?
I guess I'm not sure I understand.
Well, in other words,
how much would it cost to get 20 gigabyte instead of 10?
Yeah.
That's what he's asking.
Oh, okay. So, well, we, you know, I think you're, again, another, it's not double. It's less than double, and I don't know, we'd have to do it, because we go in pretty close to cost. You know, we'd have to do that costing with Cisco. But, you know, you got me a little thrown off from home.
Yeah, that's right.
What happens at home is so different from here, because you really don't have managed wireless at home, because you're not worrying about, you're not running 5,500 computers, I don't think. So, I hope not. And so the thing that,
I don't know, I got three kids.
Yeah, you probably are. You know what, actually, each kid has probably 2 to 3 mobile devices, so you're probably, probably running more than you think.
Yeah.
But, I guess the key is why it's more expensive in the school than a home, and this is actually not what we're asking per se, but it's because if one area is a little overloaded, so kids bring in 2 devices that day, so there's 40 in the classroom, and the next classroom doesn't have as much, the power goes to that one, so it's managed. It knows automatically where to switch its emphasis. It's really fantastic. So that's a much more expensive system than a home, because people say, well, we can do much cheaper if you just put in this Linkus system we have at home, but you really can't. But I'm just saying, that's what I thought you were saying. So, but now you're saying, what's the cost differential? I don't know, and I could find that out. But right now, I am telling you right now, we wouldn't want to, we know that 10 gig is a really huge step up, and that will last us. We know, we've got the state of the art. There's no one else even in the state that's done.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think we're okay. I think you're asking, we might as well spend the extra.
I only would not want to know.
Yeah, right. But I can find that out, but I don't think that would be really over. I mean, we would definitely be buying the Mercedes when we really only needed the good Chevrolet.
Because we don't want a gigabyte gap.
I see it now.
Actually, you know, just for the 2 cents, we're really worrying about really like our city network that connects all of
you. Yeah.
If you are going to spend any money, I'm going to urge you, because that's really slowed us down to get that moving. But that's
a
whole
fiber.
It's, yeah. Right. It's like an anchor.
What's the matter with that? State of the art. Not long ago.
It was
late.
Well, it was really never finished. So I think we can have a longer discussion about that at some other time. Yeah.
Alderman Blazer, did you have something?
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
What the E-rate funds reimbursement is this called a yearly thing?
Yeah. Strictly for telecommunications, and it has to be used towards this kind of thing. You couldn't use it for trash pickups or if you wanted to do better. It has to be used for this.
And
kind
how much
of
money
thing.
Comes? I'm looking at the numbers from fiscal year 99 up to fiscal year 11, which is now, basically. And so far, $962,000 has been received.
Right.
And spent that with this
yeah.
appropriation. So what happens next year? Is there, do you get a certain amount of money each year?
Yeah, it depends on what the rate of the federal government gives you, what we spent on telecommunications, but it's usually been about 200 some odd thousand a year, and we definitely, for to do our middle schools, we will need all of that and more. And because actually, really, as I said, for this, this will get us up to 10 gig, but some of the more other things we want to do by adding additional access points for kids to bring in the wireless computers will cost us more. So I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal from operating budget, from that kind of thing to make sure that it happens.
Okay, so all the money that, that goes from the telecommunications basically goes to this kind of...
To infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For this.
You can't even use it really to buy one-on-one computing. It's really supposed to be used to have the proper infrastructure, which is great, because that's the problem other school systems have gotten into. They bought all this equipment, then they can't run it. So the federal government was very smart to say, no, you've got to spend it on infrastructure.
Alderman Baker?
How about just the personnel to help make sure that all this works? Because the infrastructure is not enough.
Oh, we, well, we, I've been very lucky as far as being able to keep some of that staffing. That's one area I've really tried not to cut. Is to keep that, and we are extremely lucky with our two. We have two network specialists, one of which Cisco has tried to offer to get to take him for a much higher salary. So I'm just saying, don't listen to that. So we have been very, very. I mean, I have actually worked in four different school systems throughout my career. I know I don't look that old, but we have by far the best network. I mean, we've actually trained network engineers. Who, as I said, the San Mayanja has done, built our network, has been unbelievable. Cisco has come to us and said, you know, we'd love to hire him. I said, you might like to, but don't even think about it. He's here in school. So, yes, I've kept them, you're right, but if I lost them, I'd be in trouble.
Hmm.
So don't ever let that happen.
Thank you. Alderman Baker has moved approval. Are there any other comments or questions? All those in favor? It's unanimous. Congratulations, and thank you for coming.
Yes, well, it was a pleasure. I don't know if people kind of know that I've retired.
Congratulations.
It's very sad. I mean, I'm going to really miss, but I've been in education 39 years. I could have actually retired a couple years ago.
You don't look like you've retired.
I know. Well, I had, but it kind of came back because I really wanted the new superintendent to have a chance to hire someone. To, you know, it's really hard, believe it or not, to get some of these people in these positions. But they've hired a terrific Leo Brem from, he's the director in Sharon. And I think he will be very, very good for the position.
How long have you been here?
How long have I been here? I've been here 5 years. Yeah, yeah, but I was in Lexington for a lot of years before that. But I've loved every single minute of it. It's just been a terrific, terrific place to be.
You've taken us through a lot of changes, and thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a huge team effort, and that's what's been so great about it. So thank you.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you again.
And Chairman?
Yes, Alderman Merrill.
I'd like to suggest that the next 1, 2, 3, 4 items will all be held because the committee met early enough and they decided not to take any action.
That's fine. We can have that motion, but Alderman Merrill, I was hoping that we could at least get some kind of update from the chair of the committee.
355-10, 356-10, 357-10, 357-10, brings 2. All those items were held by the prior committee.
Okay.
And I would like to wait until they decide what they want to do before they make a reference to this committee.
Well, I did put this on the docket because I did want to have a report from the committee so that not all of us were able to be here tonight for the rules subcommittee discussion. So I'd like to be have all the committee members updated. Just a brief.
We're not going to discuss it. We're just
going to hear vote on it.
What happened at the meeting. But people weren't there.
Okay. So the motion to hold is on the table, and I'd like to hear from Alderman Baker and also from Alderman Linsky.
Well, for those of you who weren't there, the President and Vice President presented these items, and then Alderman Yates weighed in on the third item, in a sense, because his recommendation is what to do if the third item were to pass. And we decided to hold them because there was some division of opinion among members of the committee, but also among members of the board who were there about whether this is a wise policy to consolidate these committees into other committees or whether there was some value in keeping them. But if there were a value in consolidating them, how they should best be consolidated, because there are different functions they perform, and the question of where they go, where those functions go, and how they're absorbed is very much an issue that needs time. So while we listened to a number of points of view, it became apparent that we couldn't render a decision on an informed basis in the amount of time we had. So we moved to hold the items, and then I'm going to talk with the President and the Vice Chairman here, as well as the Vice President, about the items and see if we can frame the conversation so that the next time the Rules Subcommittee takes it up, we have a little bit more frame of ideas about how it could work, if it were to work, or whether it shouldn't go forward. But that's where we are. I think we advanced the discussion, and the report that Rebecca, I hope, will help generate will summarize that for everybody on the board. But for the time being, it's not an open and shut case. So that's where we are.
Thank you. Alderman Linsky?
There's nothing that the chairman covered it very well.
Thank you.
Do you gentlemen have an idea or a time frame of when you guys might meet, or when we could take this up again?
When's our next meeting? Because we would have been scheduled
we meet next
for the
20th,
week. Right? But
we're empted by the board meeting.
No, we meet next week for the presentation of the school committee's budget.
The budget stuff, yeah.
And the school committee will be discussing with us the docket item on the short-term space needs as well that evening. That's what the President has informed me. And then the following week we have the full board meeting and the mayor's budget address.
I hope we could maybe hit it. When's our next regular meeting on the calendar? I don't have that in front of me.
The next regular meeting is probably May.
It's going to be in, would it be May? I have to look at
it. It's not the first Wednesday.
So it's not the 4th of June? Whatever day that is.
Yeah, but it's definitely not the first Wednesday, because we have budget meetings scheduled. But there's nothing to prevent us from taking up committee business after the presentations of the budgets. So, and I'd like to move through this docket and get things
off. I understand that. The problem I'm concerned about is getting a meeting of the subcommittee when we can have the President, Vice President here. That was part of the constraint we had before.
Yeah. Okay.
I had several meetings set up and had to scrub them because either of them couldn't make the meeting. Mm-hmm. So I understand the desire to move it forward. Let me see what I can do in consultation with the Vice Chairman and see if we can get something, that will give you an earlier rather than later opportunity.
Our regular scheduled meeting would probably not be until May 18th, because the 4th is another budget meeting for us.
Okay.
So,
also, Alderman Linsky, again, I apologize for not taking your item up, so I was wondering if you wanted to schedule that during one of the, we could do it next week after the school budget presentation. I think on that item, and that's item number 52-07, it was requesting an ordinance amendment to create a healthcare advisory committee. So I'm not sure if long range, the work that you're doing in long range planning, whether you want to add to this and so that we can move forward with, because we still have to draft the language.
Yeah, Alderman Blaze is taking a first cut at
what they have to say first. Alderman Blazer? Alderman Linsky?
No.
I'm sorry.
The only additional thought is, I'm sorry, on this issue, you may recall that we had asked a number of questions as part of the conversation the other night, mm-hmm. and I sent my list to Alderman Friedman, and he was going to generate his list to get back to Steve as chair of the committee, and then we'd have it for the packet on Friday. I guess my question is, before we go to the point of appointing the advisory committee, there may be value in having a supplemental conversation like we had the other night, but with the availability of Dolores Hamilton as well as the chief financial officer, because there are some questions we had that I think would be useful for the board to hear about and may inform the decision-making about this item. And so this is, I yield to Steve's view on this, but it seems to me that there may be value in not moving on that until we have this, at least one more conversation of the informational side at the board level. So
I think we made a start, and I think that there needs to be some substance that moves in. I guess we just wanted to keep this thing going, okay, yeah. And not get.
Yeah, I guess I would just feel more comfortable holding this item until we get one more information session.
And we could probably maybe generate that looking at the budget schedule when they're, because they're kind of coming before us, mm-hmm. Right? So we can figure out maybe something to double click on that when they're otherwise going to be presenting on the budget before this committee. So.
Do it on the same night.
Take that night.
Okay.
Yeah. To do exactly as.
Yeah, I mean, we want to do it when the board's here. Otherwise.
Right. Okay.
You know, we're not going to try and hold a special meeting. We just want to piggyback on something where everybody's here.
I still want to make sure that the drafting of the ordinance amendment is not going to wait, because you can still move forward with at least getting something to present should we decide to move this thing forward.
Yeah.
Right. I'm looking at Alderman Blaze.
Well, we're going to draft the ordinance amendment. I can sit down and really work on it. Because I'm not quite sure how particular this ordinance amendment should be. So that's one thing Steve and I have to work on.
Or if
Rye wants to join us, that's fine with me.
And just have that conversation with the law department about how best to proceed.
Okay.
That'd be good. Okay, cool. In the meantime, if folks want it, we should definitely adjourn, but if folks...
Well, no, you want to vote on Alderman Merrill's motion?
Oh, we didn't. I'm sorry. All those in favor of holding? It's unanimous. And if you guys could just take some time to go through the docket and so we can do some more scheduling, that'd be great. Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
All those in favor? That's unanimous, too.
Great.
The school night, I may be late for that conversation.